Over the years, last year's Masters champion Sergio Garcia was, let's say he's been a polarizing figure over the years. But, you know, there was that real nice sentiment when he finally won his first major championship a year ago. The guy he put the green jacket on today, is he the most polarizing figure in golf today?
Well, you know, I think so. He's very polarizing. There's a lot of people that, you know, he rubs the wrong way. There's a lot of rumors out there about how his actions in college wasn't the best, and those are rumors. Don't know if they are or not, but
Right.
you know, wearing red, that's a little bit of an antagonistic thing for Tiger, and his statements that he talks about being, you know, a few years ago being a top five player.
Sure.
But that aside, those things do rub people the wrong way. But man, oh man, do you have to admire his ability to deal with pressure, execute under and severe and pressure situations.
He got what he needed today. This is basically the way I describe it.
Yeah, he knows how to get it done.
Yeah.
He's mentally superior than most. You know, in the heat of battle against Rory and McIlroy, you know, McIlroy left the golf course with his tail between his legs,
Yep.
and Patrick Reed came out, broke through, and became major champion. And you know, he doesn't care what other people think.
Right.
He doesn't have fear that other people do. He gets motivated when the situations get extreme, you know, difficult, and he plays that antagonist role real well. And
Yeah.
he's going to, you know, play it well moving into the Ryder Cup later this year.
Right. Yeah. It's you know, he like I say, I mean, you know, he opened with a bogey, and like you say, Robin Rory came right back with a birdie. He was all of a sudden within one of the lead. I mean, he could have pulled like a cheap suit right there, right?
He could have, and you know, what's so fantastic about the drama, looking this, pulling back at 10,000 feet, Rory, obviously, you know, his game was bad. He just,
Yeah.
He was losing shots like crazy,
Right.
and didn't look like he had it. And I think he actually pulled Patrick Reed into his poor play, and like, you know, Reed turned. He wasn't playing real well, and it wasn't until Spieth started to show up
Right.
after he birdied 12. All of a sudden, then that situation shifted, and Patrick Reed started. I mean, oh my gosh, that tee shot on that putt on 12
Right.
makes for birdie. Then that tee shot on 13. It was, you know, he didn't even make birdie on 13. That second shot on 14 and that putt, then on 15, 16, 17, 18, then obviously, you know,
Right.
making that putt on the final hole. That's under severe pressure.
Right.
You know, his mental fortitude is a model of success.
Yeah. Well, you know, I saw a bunch of people on social media saying, for all you guys saying that, you know, a three-shot lead wasn't enough, well, he proved you wrong. No, I don't think he did. I mean, I think that's still a very valid concept, that a three-shot lead going into the final round of the Masters is not enough. And, you know, and I think it was proven in my case just by the fact that, you know, right away it was down to one, you know, right off the get-go.
You got that right, Hutch. There's no doubt about it. So, you know, he lost his lead quickly, but the situation changed that he got motivated and up for. I mean, that's the mark of a champion. It was a different ball game. It you know, on that back nine. And so, for all intents and purposes, that lead was gone.
Right.
And a new ball game started. And it was for anyone, you know, and Patrick Reed was the guy that performed the best. He executed under the pressure better than anyone.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I mean, I look at Ricky Fowler, for example. I mean, is this guy snake bit as far as majors go? You know, he shoots a 67 in the final round, and, you know, finishes within one shot, you know, runner-up. It's Ricky Fowler. We're almost starting to look at him like we did at Sergio.
Well, I think Ricky Fowler's situation today was
he played really well.
Exactly.
Handled himself extremely well. It just so happened he was up against Patrick Reed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Patrick Reed coming down the last few holes with a one-shot lead,
yeah.
And his mental capability,
yeah.
he's just a shot too short.
Yeah.
But he played really well. I think he made tremendous progress. I think his body language really was impressive. You know, he was very calm out there, and he executed well. He was just a little too far behind, that's all.
I thought so, too. I mean, he was walking with purpose, wasn't he?
In executing shots and handling the situation really well. So I love, you know, trying to get into Ricky's head and figuring out where he's at. I think he was in a good place. And, you know, and what was also remarkable was Spieth, you know, how he was able to get on such a roll and obviously got derailed by that limb coming out of the chute on 18. He gets a little amped up, and I think he's going to have to learn from, you know, Ricky's type of demeanor that, you know, he needs to just calm things down a little bit in order for it to polish up right all the way to the end.
I think in both cases, they both come out of this, I got to think, with positive mindsets.
Totally. Absolutely. And I think, you know, from a dramatic point of view, here we are with a couple of guys that, let's call them, that wear the white cowboy hats, and
mm-hmm.
Patrick Reed wearing the black cowboy hat.
Right.
And it had me on the edge of my seat. It was excellent golf. It was high intensity, and the performance factor by Patrick Reed, as I mentioned, you don't have to like the guy, but you sure have to admire him.
Well, you know, I think you mentioned it, you know, with Jordan Spieth, that what a magnificent 64. And, you know, just, I mean, him and Fowler and John Rahm, who we'll get to in a minute, they really provided I think you said it right, almost the antithesis of what Patrick Reed was. I mean, these guys were hard charging.
Yeah, playing well.
Yeah.
Playing well and, you know, setting the table for the story,
mm-hmm.
for the drama, and putting the pressure and forcing Patrick Reed to perform.
Yeah.
And that, you know, it doesn't get any better than that. And, you know, I'm not a big Patrick Reed fan, but boy, oh boy, I really admire him. His ability to, you know, with what he's dealing with and what he has to overcome, his mind is the mind of a champion.
Well, I've wondered, too, sometimes if we really know what Patrick Reed is dealing with.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. You know, anyone who can stand up there, and you look into his eyes, look into and try and read his body language, because,
right.
you know, that's an echo of what's going on in your mind. And,
right.
You know, like I said, he just doesn't have the fear, and he loves... He loves the intensity.
Yeah.
It's like he's addicted to it, and the higher the pressure, the better he performs. And again, it's such an admirable thing, and it's really disappointing on Rory. I was really disappointed. I thought he was going to perform well, and you know, he must have had 7 or 8 shot loss events out there in today's round, and that's really unfortunate for him.
Yeah, I mean, he was my pre-tournament pick, actually. To get the career Grand Slam. That didn't happen, obviously. But let's look at John Rahm.
Yeah.
Boy, here's a guy who really sky's the limit as far as I see.
Well, physically, absolutely. I'm right on that page. He can be that guy who can overpower any golf course, his
right.
strength. The only question mark with John Rahm is his emotional stability.
Right.
That is it. I mean, we're watching him, and they were talking about it on the telecast, how well he cut that ball off the 11th tee. And then, you know, Nick Faldo was talking about how he drew that ball around the corner on 13. That's extremely impressive.
Right.
Given his power, and, you know, he's got a tremendous game.
Right.
But, you know, when things don't go his way, he runs a little too hot.
Right.
At this point, he's got to learn to let it go, and he's carrying it on to other shots, and
right.
And whether he's able to get past this, and that's a psychological mindset challenge. And if he's able to do it, he will. The sky's the limit, and but he'll be. He's going to be. That question mark's going to be there until he can learn how to handle those emotions and his thoughts.
Is that really a product of inexperience at this point?
Yes, it can be. But, you know, we watched that with Sergio, you know, 20 years ago.
Sure.
We thought, I mean, in 1999 that he was going to be, you know, just rack up those major wins. We're in the same position with John Rahm right now.
Yeah.
But it took Sergio 18 years to finally break through. I hope we don't have to wait that long for John Rahm.
Right.
But he will be tested, and that ball is in his court.
Yeah.
And if he recognizes what he needs to do, then he'll be able to do something about it. But if he's in denial, we'll have to wait and see how he deals with it.
Yeah. Might what happened today, you know, be a positive step for him?
Well, you know, yes, it is. And it's really dependent on, you know, the person with a good mindset is going to learn from today.
Mm-hmm.
The person with, you know, who's stuck in golf insanity, he's going to repeat the same thing over and over again and continue the level of frustration.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't know where his mind's at, only he does, and his team, and whether if people are telling him, you got to learn from this, and he doesn't want to listen, then you know he'll be a stubborn guy and hold on to it. So you know, again, we get to watch and see how where his mindset's at.
Okay. A couple of miscellaneous things. Adam Hadwin tied for 24th, one under. He shot a 1-under 71 today. Just your thoughts on his tournament. He started off well.
Well, yes, he did. He got himself into that. You know, all those things are valuable, and I think you know, I think Adam Hadwin is like a sponge.
Mm-hmm.
I think he learns, and we've talked about this in numerous times before. That you know, he has that no fear. He has that attraction for the limelight, kind of like Patrick Reed.
Right.
And I think every year he gets and learns from playing, this is just year two, I think it's going to fold over, and it will not surprise me at all if Adam Hadwin spends a lot of time in contention in majors. And I think for one at a minimum, and I think he's going to contend in many of them.
Okay. Tiger finished one over. I mean, I can't say anything negative about Tiger. I think he's going to... I mean, we all knew that this was going to be progress week by week, didn't we?
Absolutely. I think that... I think where Tiger is settling in and his performance on the you know, this week in the Masters is really where he's at.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's going to be moments of his of performing. He's going to get into contention. But he's not there yet. And
right.
I think... as we talked about before, and you have mentioned that, you know, we're getting a little ahead of ourselves with Tiger.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I think where he's settling is exactly where he's at and where he should be. So
right.
I think he's still doing real well, and I think he's going to win, and I think he's going to win some majors as well.
Well, you know, I think we were rushing him because of the Masters.
Yeah, and the excitement.
Yeah.
You know, people's betting in Vegas, you know, after that front nine at
Valspar.
The Arnold Palmer, when he grabbed that lead, that's when the odds went nuts.
Right.
You know, a week after him finishing second at Valspar.
That's right.
So that's kind of the, you know, the Tiger factor of people betting on Vegas. They don't really know what's going on. They just, they're hoping and betting with their hearts. But
right.
I think in reality, like I mentioned, Tiger is exactly where he should be, is where he's at, and he's making terrific progress.
I think we're going to rush him into the next major, because you do realize that it's officially 10 years since he won his last major once we get to the U.S. Open.
Yeah, that's right. 2008 at Torrey Pines, but, you know, we get to watch him, I guess, in the Players' Championship next month, and we'll see how many tournaments he plays in prior to that,
yep.
And see how he does, and see what happens at the Players' Championship.
Yeah. Week by week. But you know what? As we go week by week into this season, I mean, just judging on what happened this week and what's happened, you know, on the schedule so far this year, I think we touched on it earlier, is the fact that there's some real great storyline setting up for this year.
Yeah, there is. And I think what's going to happen on these big tournaments like the Masters and the Players and all the majors and the tournaments that Tiger is going to play in, there's going to be a lot of excitement.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, we get to watch the young guys like Ricky and Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
Now that he's turning corners, there's going to be a lot to talk about, Hutch.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we'll have you back, sir, as always. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Hutch. Always a pleasure.
You bet.